TSN 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show with Drew Mandel, Richard Pollock, and Ezra Ginsberg.
Well, I got a job and tried to put
bright and early on a Saturday morning. Richard Pollock filling in the host chair for Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg, David Manuk of IllegalCurve.com, Tim Debenham, and Michael Remus. It is Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day here on the station, and we're going to use the next 2.5 hours or so to preview the NHL trade deadline. Of course, trade deadline coverage on TSN 1290 starts at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, April 3rd, and runs all the way through to the end of NHL midweek with the Legal Curve, of course, at 8 p.m. Of course, when we're going to talk about the trade deadline, we're also going to have some guests on to discuss. Kevin Allen of USA Today is going to join us at the end of this hour to discuss the Eastern Conference trade deadline possibilities. At the end of the second hour, Craig Button of TSN. You know him, obviously, as a prospect expert, but he was has been in front offices in Dallas, Toronto, and, of course, as GM of the Flames. He's going to help us break down the Western Conference. And in the final hour, when we focus primarily on the Winnipeg Jets, we're going to touch on a variety of topics, but we're also going to have Chip Alexander of the News and Observer. He covers the Carolina Hurricanes for that paper. Boys, good morning. Ezzy?
Good morning. You know, I don't think I've ever seen four guys, the four Legal Curve guys, up this early and this wide awake. Usually, like, you know, Remus is coming in, you know, 10 minutes into the show. I'm half awake. I need, like, you know, four Red Bulls to get me up. I'm usually pretty grumpy. I'm good to go now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this early bedtime, you know, we've instituted a curfew now that Drew Mandel is, on his honeymoon and not around. Richie's instituted a curfew. Everyone's in bed by 10 o'clock, and it's really working. I know that Dave was actually in bed by 9 because he was that excited, but I'm ready to go here, boys.
David.
It's another exciting day. We've got the biggest game of the year for the Winnipeg Jets upcoming, so that's exciting. We've got all your latest Winnipeg Jets news on IllegalCurve.com, so go check that out right now. And we are in for a three-hour mega show right now.
We're going to start off by breaking down division by division, as we say, team by team. We want to get into what every team needs, you know, what they could be looking, you know, what they could be looking to deal to satisfy that need, who their free agents are. We're going to delve really deep into each and every division.
Atlantic Division.
What we're going to do is we're going to start off on the East Coast, and we're going to move from right to left. We're going to start off with the New York Rangers in the Atlantic Division. This team is an enigma, I'd say, would be probably the easiest word to use to describe this squad. Coming into the season, people had such high expectations for the New York Rangers, myself included, picking them to go to the Stanley Cup Final, although my predictions aren't worth the paper that they're printed on, if you're printing paper anymore. Guys, the pending UFAs for the Rangers are recently acquired Roman Hamrlich, Steve Eminger, and Matt Gilroy. So there's really not significant pending unrestricted free agents. All those guys will be considered bottom two guys, defensemen at the most, in your top six pairing. The pending RFAs, more significant. Derek Stepan, Carl Hagelin, who I thought played quite well when the Rangers played here last in Winnipeg, Matt Zuccarello, who they recently brought over back over from Europe, Ryan McDonough, who's the key, and Mike Sauer. Now, those are the free agents, pending free agents, whether restricted or unrestricted. But the big fish that we've heard bandied about has been Marian Gaborik. What do you guys see the Rangers doing with Wednesday's trade deadline?
Well, you mentioned some of the UFAs that the Rangers have, and I think we'd all agree that not a lot of those guys are going to be guys that they're going to want to move. I think the strength of the Rangers is probably in their young prospects at forward, especially. And to me, that, Richie, is kind of what's happened to the Rangers this season. Guys like Chris Kreider, Derek Stepan, haven't really given them that much offense. I mean, a guy like Rick Nash has been pretty good all year. But to me, when you're talking about buyers and sellers, it's pretty clear that the Rangers are a buyer. They're in eighth place here. They didn't think that they'd be fighting with, you know, the Devils and the Hurricanes and the Jets for that last playoff spot. They thought that they would be competing with the Penguins for the Atlantic Division lead. Marian Gaborik, to me, is a really interesting guy. I think he's really fallen out of favor with the coaching staff in New York, the management staff. And he's a guy that has 1 year left on his contract next year.
Yeah, after this year.
After this year. And he's a guy that could really interest a lot of teams that are looking to upgrade their offense. The problem is that if the Rangers need anything, it is a top six forward. It is a center. You know, if you look at what's happened since the Mark Stahl injury, sure, they could probably use another defenseman. Jay Bouwmeester's name has been bandied about. And we're going to talk a lot about Jay Bouwmeester because there's probably 10 teams that, if not 15 teams that want Jay Bouwmeester. But to me, the Rangers are a team that really needs an upgrade at top six forward. They're, aside from the Jets, they're the only team right now in the East that has a negative goal differential. Mm-hmm. Aside from, you know, Gabrick and Nash, they've had trouble scoring goals. So to me, that's what they're after. They're after a center because Chris Kreider and Derek Stepan just haven't got the job done. They've both been in the press box this year. So to me, that's what the Rangers will be going after, a top six forward.
I think they also lack depth at forward. That was depleted based on, you know, you could say the Brad Richards contract, you could say the Rick Nash deal. And then I think they need a left-side defenseman. Reports on Mark Stahl that he may return, but he may not. If he doesn't return, I don't think they have a chance to do anything in the playoffs. If he does, I think they're more formidable. Dave, quickly.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They've also was rumors that Dan Boyle, they were interested in Dan Boyle, the connection with John Tortorella when they went to the Stanley Cup in 2004. And then, you know, it's interesting also to see all those forwards now that went to Columbus and what the impact they're having now with Columbus and what unfortunately happened with the Rangers. And who would have thought that the hot team from New York would be the Islanders and not the Rangers right now?
Speaking of the Islanders, you look at their squad in terms of the trade deadline. You know, they've been hot lately. I think six of their last seven, Dave, we were talking about this last night. Their pending UFAs are there's a lot of them. There's Marty Reisner, Brad Boies, Keith Coyne. It was Lubomir Vyshnovsky, but if you woke up this morning, you realize that Vyshnovsky just signed a two-year contract extension. So take him off the board. Mark Streit, Radek Martinek, Tim Thomas, although he has a no-mover, no-trade, and Evgeny Nabokov. So those players aren't necessarily that significant in terms of talent level to the squad, aside from Boies, who was on a one-year kind of tryout deal, and Mark Streit, because Tim Thomas isn't playing, and then Nabokov, but the goalie market isn't that deep. Pending RFAs are Josh Bailey, David Ostrom, Travis Hamonic. So that's going to be a big contract coming up next, and then Thomas Hickey. The Islanders' needs, guys, I think the Islanders have needs at all positions, frankly. I think they have needs at defense. I think they have needs in goal. And I think they have needs at forward. I think they just need to get better. A trade candidate, you know, somebody whose name you could hear, it would be Kyle Okposo. Minnesota product, bigger guy. You know, his talent level probably indicates that he'd be better than he has been in terms of, you know, ability to succeed in the NHL level. There's no issue with the Islanders in cap space. They have tons of cap space. Do you see them making being very active at the deadline, Ezzy?
Well, Richie, right now, you know, we started off the show by talking about the Rangers. Right now, the Islanders are actually tied in points with the Rangers, and they have to think that their chances are very good of getting a playoff seed here. And I think they will make a move. Now, you mentioned that they've signed Vyshnovsky, which is surprising to me, not by the way he's played, but just by the way they acquired him. He wasn't even clear if he was going to play in New York this year with the issues he was having coming over from Europe. But I think I look at the Islanders, and you know they've got good goaltending from Nabokov. They've got Travis Hamonic coming up. They'll re-sign him. He's kind of the future cornerstone defenseman for them. To me, when I look at the Islanders, what's kind of missing is almost a guy in the vein of a Brendan Morrow, a veteran guy that can score and add a little toughness to the team. If you've seen the Islanders play in Winnipeg, they're a pretty good team. They've gotten a lot better. They're tough to play against. Kind of play a tight checking game, a lot of pressure. To me, it's probably on defense and adding a kind of veteran guy, because right now that top line of John Tavares, Matt Molson, and Brad Boies is playing really well, and they're actually a pretty good offensive team. So for me, it would probably be a veteran, gritty guy and probably a top six defenseman if they can get it.
You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show. We are taking into our trade deadline preview. We're going through the Atlantic Division. We just recapped the New York Rangers and New York Islanders. The Pittsburgh Penguins, guys, I'm going to kind of gloss over them. Their pending UFAs are Ginla, Morrow, and Murray. Obviously, they just acquired them. And then Matt Cook, Pascal Dupuis, and Mark Eaton. Pending RFAs, Tyler Kennedy and Dustin Jeffrey. They actually have a little bit of cap space to make more moves. And Mike Colligan of the Hockey Writers was on our NHL Midweek show on Wednesday. And he basically said, maybe a face-off specialist. But I don't want to, aside from that, that's a luxury that they can decide if they want to add or not. There's no other needs on that squad. That squad looks ridiculous. That squad should win the cup. And we're going to leave that there. New Jersey, as he is, of course, a team that you follow quite closely. Their pending UFAs are quite significant. Patrick Elias, Daniel Zubris, David Clarkson. Alexei Ponikarovsky, Tom Kostopoulos, Tim Cestito, and Tom or Tim, I always forget, and then Marek Zidlicky, who has a no moves and a no trade. Their pending RFAs are the recently acquired D'Agostini, Lokchanov, both acquired this year, and Adam Henrique. Trade candidates, you know, Anton Velchenkov is a guy who's seen some time in the press box. Seems to have slowed down with age. He has a no-trade clause, but maybe they'd be willing to move him. And then Andy Green always seems like a guy whose name is mentioned in rumors. They have some cap room, and what we have is their needs, our top six winger. And you would know better than anybody, as a third-line center. Ryan Carter's kind of playing above his head there. And a top-end defenseman, which they seem to have lacked since, you know, the days of Niedermeyer and Stevens. What do you think about them, Ez?
Well, you know, I've actually liked every single move the Devils have made. No offense to Ponikarovsky, except for that one. I didn't really like that move. Ponikarovsky didn't do much in Winnipeg, and he hasn't really done much in New Jersey since he started off hot there. But the Devils have gone out, and for draft picks only, without giving up any roster players, they've went out and they've got Lokchanov, who's playing first line right now, and he's doing a good job. He scored yesterday. D'Agostini is a guy that had 25 goals for the Blues a couple years ago. To me, the Devils have kind of already made a lot of their moves. I don't see them making that many moves. And you mentioned if they do make a move, and you know this is a big if, a guy to me that would really change a lot in there, and again, this is a guy that a lot of teams are going to be after, is Bouwmeester. And if you look at what the Devils have on defense, I don't think Zidlicky's done a very good job this year. I think Volchenkov has struggled. He's a guy that you have to play him in limited minutes. He's a guy that's obviously a physical defenseman, but he's lost a few steps from his days in Ottawa. He's still a good shot blocker and a physical guy, but to me, you mentioned what their needs are, and to me, it's a top six defenseman. As far as I'm concerned, on the Devils go, as far as the Devils go, you've got Bryce Salvador, who's an excellent defenseman, the captain of the team, obviously. But they really need a guy that can move the puck and give them offense.
Who can skate, too, because that system is based on skating a lot.
Jay Bouwmeester, to me, if you're going to get a guy like Jay Bouwmeester, you're going to have to create cap space. And that's kind of the tricky thing with Bouwmeester. He makes a lot of money. But
they have room, though. They have room.
You'll make that room if you don't have it. But to me, Richie, that's probably what it is. It's probably a top six defenseman, and that would be what Lamorella would do. I'm not sure who he would exactly move to get Bouwmeester. It would probably have to be a first rounder, a prospect. And the Devils do have some prospects in the system. We talked about John Merrill, guys like that on defense, and maybe a forward, Josephson or Tedenby, somebody like that. But they've probably already made all of their moves leading up to the trade deadline, I would say.
Last team in the Atlantic is the Philadelphia Flyers, and they've been a wreck this year. They've Sam Gagner. Simon Gagné is a pending UFA. They just acquired him from L.A. Ruslan Fedotenko, who actually has a no-trade clause. And then kind of the bottom of the roster, Jody Shelley, Matt Walker, Curtis Foster, and Michael Layton. Their pending RFAs are Harry Zolnarczyk, Zach Ronaldo, and in reality, their free agents there are very insignificant when it comes to the total roster. Pieces they have to move, Daniel Briere, but he has a no-move clause, first off. Second of all, he's in concussion. There were rumors that they were looking to cut ties with him very recently, right before the concussion. But, of course, doesn't allow that to happen. Then maybe Andre Mezeros. He's out for the year, and Braden Coburn is hurt. That's new information.
Yep.
That just came down off the wire, I think, yesterday. They have very little cap room as well. It seems to me like this season's a write-off for the Flyers. Dave, quickly, do you see them adding a top-end defenseman, or are they just going to ride it out and deal with something in the offseason?
I have to think that they're riding it out. I think that the Flyers know that they're done. They know they have very little chance of gaining ground at this point in the playoff race, and they're not going to do anything rash. There's no point. I mean, it's amazing how far and how fast they've fallen, but that's the way of the NHL. I mean, you look at a Montreal who goes from 15 to first, and similarly, a Philadelphia Flyers who are now out of the playoffs.
Dave, I bet the Pittsburgh Penguins are pretty happy that the Philadelphia Flyers aren't going to be their opponent in the first round. It's tough to believe that they're in second last place with the depth that they have, but with injuries and inconsistent play, that's what's happened there, unfortunately.
If you're going to be bad, though, you might as well be really bad, because they have talent to bounce back next year, and we've seen teams do that, like Montreal, Galchenyuk.
And they'll get a nice draft pick in 2013.
And Van Riemsdyk in Philadelphia. There's many other examples that we could use. Atlantic Division is done. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Northeast Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Filling in the host chair for Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg, David Maluka of IllegalCurve.com, Tim Debenham, and Michael Remus. We're in the midst of our trade deadline preview, of course. The trade deadline is Wednesday, April 3rd, and you'll have wall-to-wall coverage on TSN 1290, starting at 6 a.m. with the big show, running all the way through to the end of our show, NHL Midweek, at 8 p.m.
I can't wait to break down every single conditional seventh rounder for a pending UFA. I love it when, you know, on TSN when the trades slowly come in, you know, and it's like Brad Boys for a sixth round draft pick or something. That's not going to happen this year, but you know what I'm saying. It's going to be fun.
Northeast Division.
Guys, we just broke down the Atlantic Division. Let's move to the Northeast Division, staying within the Eastern Conference. And let's start in Toronto. Isn't that the center of the universe, as they say? The Toronto Maple Leafs...
Well, they think it is.
They think it is. The Toronto Maple Leafs pending UFAs are Clark MacArthur, Tyler Bozak, it's an interesting case, Colton Knorr, Mike Koska, and Tim Connolly, who's been buried. His contract's been buried by the Maple Leafs. Pending RFAs are also somewhat significant in that Nazem Kadri is a pending RFA. Leo Komarov, Fraser McLaren, Carl Gunnarsson, Cody Franzen, and Mark Fraser. Some trade candidates that they have, I think, are Nikolai Kuhlman, John Michael Lyles, so no trade clause, however, and then you could toss in Jake Gardner, whether or not you think he's something that's somebody that they'd be looking to move. They do have a lot of cap room at the deadline, as almost all teams have based on the season. Next year, I think it'll be far different than it is now, but they have a lot of cap room. Remember, when you're talking about the cap, you're talking about money paid over the course of the year. So when you're talking about a 10-game period at the end, it's not so much of an issue. The needs that they have. You know, I think they need a top-six center. I think they need a right-side defenseman, frankly, somebody who can be a little more of a stay-home guy. And then I think the biggest need, and one we'll talk about right now, is goaltending. Ezzy, what do you think the Leafs are going to do?
You know what? This is going to surprise a lot of people because we've been hearing about this for, it seems like, 2 years now, that the Leafs should, you know, get another goaltender. The Leafs here are in sixth place in the Eastern Conference, have definitely outperformed my expectations. I think that the Leafs should stand pat. And this is why I think that they should stand pat. If you look at what they've got from their players, Nazem Kadri's had a great season. He's finally broken out, you know, out of the Ron Wilson doghouse, it seems. He's played well. You know, Bozak has struggled at times, but he's been pretty good along with Kessel and Van Riemsdyk on that top line. Lupul's back. He's healthy now. And if you look at their issues, yeah, they've got, you know, some AHL guys on defense, Koska, and they've had Holzer earlier this year. He's kind of fallen out of favor a little bit. As far as big moves, and I mean, James Reimer and Ben Scrivens are not two of the best goaltenders in the NHL, but they've gotten some pretty good goaltending from them. If you're going to go after Roberto Luongo, which all indications point to they might, you know, you're going to have to give up significant prospects, whether it's a Gardner or it's a top six forward. Bozak's a pending UFA. To me, they should re-sign him as their second-line center. I think the Leafs should really stand pat here, but they could decide to be big-time buyers as well.
Yeah, the Leafs are interesting. I don't think that it should cost them a lot to get Luongo, but it very well may. In terms of moving a little bit more east in Montreal, Dave, you know, you have pending UFAs and Michael Ryder, they acquired, obviously, for Eric Cole. You have Colby Armstrong, Jeff Halpern, and Peter Budaj. Ryan White and Yannick Weber pending RFA. So really, the core of this team is going to stay the same moving forward. Some trade candidates, Thomas Cavalier, who nobody's going to take that contract. You've heard Lars Eller mentioned, and then Rene Bork, but he has a concussion issue and a no-trade clause.
You mentioned Bork is supposed to come back in the next week or two.
But you never know with a concussion if somebody's going to take him back. I think the need for Montreal, as far as I can tell, is really is a power forward, is a guy who can play a big game up front and add a little bit more size. Do you think that's something that they're going to try and address, or do you think they're going to stick with this core right now?
Well, you know, it's tough to say, because do you want to mess with success? I mean, they're having a lot of success right now. There have been rumors that they may be interested in Jason Palmerville, but, I mean, of course, you know, will Buffalo be fire-selling their roster? So you don't know about that, but it's a really tough decision for the GM, because you have to sit there and say to yourself, look at how much success we've had with this present group. Mm-hmm. Are we really going to be successful tinkering with that and maybe adding someone who could throw off our chemistry?
To me, Ryan Clough makes a lot of sense, pending UFA. But the question is, what will San Jose do? We're going to get to them later in the show, but they're in a bit of a between a rock and a hard place in terms of their overall, you know, team identity. I don't really know that organizational identity, really. But one organization which seems to have an amazing identity based upon the injuries they face this year is the Ottawa Senators. As Daniel Alfredsson, Guillaume Lafrenière, Peter Regan, Sergei Gonchar, Mike Lundin, and Benoit. I'm forgetting Benoit's first name right now, are pending UFAs. Andre Benoit, that's right, pending UFAs. Their pending RFA is only Ben Bishop. Gonchar, of course, is a no-trade clause. But you look at trade candidates. I listed the trade candidates here. We all, when putting this together, we said Ben Bishop, Robin Lehner, and Craig Anderson. All three are possibly available for the right package. The Sens have a ton of cap room, but they just have a ton of injuries. Now we hear Jason Spezza is probably not going to be back for the regular season. Eric Karlsson's already out for the season. Milan Mihailuk's been hurt. I personally think their need is, you know, a left side defenseman. They have Jared Cowan in the system. Obviously, he played last year, but he's hurt. And then, you know, they need to replace Sergei Gonchar eventually. And then scoring right winger. What do you think, do you think this team is just going to say, hey, we're going to ride on what we got? Or do you think they're going to make a move?
It's very difficult for me to know what the Senators are going to do based on the fact that they've been playing so well with AHL defensemen. Peter Wierkoch has had a very good rookie year, for example. And the Ottawa Senators right now, they're not expecting Spezza back, but they have this glut of goaltenders. They've said that when Craig Anderson comes back from injury, they're going to send Robin Lehner down to the minors. And he's kind of the goaltender of the future. So I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to move, especially Anderson, to a team that wants to upgrade their backup position. The Devils, for example, Hedberg hasn't been playing well. To me, Craig Anderson isn't going to necessarily be a goaltender that a team is going to use as their number one goaltender, but maybe a guy that solidifies the backup position. But the Ottawa Senators right now, you have to think that they probably want a top six forward as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a guy like Latondres has played well, but he's not exactly you know, what you would call a 30-goal scorer.
He has the skill, just he's injury-prone.
Absolutely. So it's that. Left-side defenseman, Richie, you mentioned, that's something, again, a veteran guy is probably somebody that they'd be looking at. You know, Chris Phillips and Sergei Gonchar have done an unbelievable job playing lots of minutes, but when you get into the playoffs, you definitely would like to have a guy that can take some of those minutes away from one of those guys.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, do you spread it out a bit? It can be a right-side guy, too, really. I think it's another defenseman veteran, as you mentioned, as the Boston Bruins, after the debacle this week of acquiring Jerome Iginla and then being told they didn't actually acquire Jerome Iginla, their pending UFAs are Nathan Horton, who has a no-trade clause, Jay Pandolfo, who they signed this year, and then Andrew Ferens, who does a really nice job on their third pairing. Tuukka Rask is their pending RFA, and he's probably due for a fairly big payday. Who do they have to trade? I mean, aside from the guys in their system, I don't think anybody off the active roster is really in play. I think what they need right now is and they have enough cap room to make a deal here. I think what they need is a scoring right winger if they don't think Nathan Horton can do the job or are worried that he won't be able to, because Tyler Seguin's a second right winger there on that, or probably the first line, Bergeron and Marchand. To me, they also are going to look to add a second pairing defenseman. I don't see them going into the playoffs with Dougie Hamilton playing top 4 minutes. He makes some bad reads. He's a young defenseman. He's going to be great. But I don't know if they're going to trust Dougie Hamilton in a matchup against Evgeny Malkin. They've been linked to Ryan Whitney, Ezzy. But, you know, who do you see them targeting to try to fill those needs?
You know, Ryan Whitney, unfortunately, after suffering that injury, hasn't been the same defenseman, you know. And to me, I'm not so sure that a guy like Ryan Whitney would be an improvement over what they have in the bottom six. I actually like the way Dougie Hamilton's played, but I know what you're saying, Richie. If he's elevated to a shutdown top four role, he might struggle in the Eastern Conference against a team like Pittsburgh.
He's played it this year, but as with Seidenberg. But I mean, can you trust him? It's a question. Yep. You'd probably rather him, depending on McQuaid, rather have him play with Ferentz or, you know, sit out a little bit.
I agree, and you know, another guy that's been mentioned as well as kind of a guy that the Bruins covet is Alex Hemsky, who actually has one more year left on his contract.
Who fills the wing spot.
Who fills that right wing spot, top six right wing role that you mentioned, Richie. The Bruins are clearly going to be a buyer, and they're going to go after a forward and a defenseman if they can get both, and or a defenseman. But, you know, again, that's a pretty good team right there that doesn't have a lot of weaknesses. Good in goal, very strong on defense. We've seen the Boston Bruins in Winnipeg. The Jets have had more problems with the Bruins, with the exception of maybe the Penguins this year, one of the top teams going in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd have to think that they're going to go after a veteran D and try to get a scoring winger. And I think they're going to be pretty aggressive, to be honest with you. You know, I could see them also being a team that would want a Jay Bouwmeester. But again, you're adding a lot of cap there, a lot of salary.
Maybe they hit up Calgary for one of their offensive guys who might be on the block. It's going to be interesting. And, of course, in this segment, the Northeast Division, reviewing the Northeast Division, you know, trade possibilities of each team with the Buffalo Sabres. There are pending UFAs that are significant to Robin Regier and Jordan Leopold, really. Those are the guys who will help you. Regier has a no-movement clause, so he'd have to waive, you know, he'd have to deal with that. Pending RFAs. Cody Hodgson is going to be due for a big payday. He's the biggest one. Trade candidates. Well, we talked to Mike Harrington, the Buffalo News, on NHL Midweek on Wednesday. You know, Drew Stafford could be in play. Jason Pominville with a no-trade clause can be in play. Ville Leino, if anybody takes on that contract. Has Patrick Kaleta fallen out of favor there? Christian Ehrhoff, who nobody's going to take on, but he's probably available. And then Ryan Miller, who's got a no-trade clause, but there's been rumors about him. To me, Ezzy, they need a center to play behind Hodgson.
Yep.
And they need defensemen, period. Do you think there's going to fire sale it up?
Well, why wouldn't they at this point? I mean, you've got a lot of bad contracts in Buffalo. You know, the Ville Leino contract and the Christian Ehrhoff contract, that might, in essence, might cost Darcy Regier's job. I mean, they went after it with those two contracts. They struggled last year.
I wonder if that was him behind that, though.
No, I think the ownership was part of that as well, Richie. And Darcy Regier, I respect him as a general manager. But when you look at what's happened on the ice, and the Sabres are in a lot of trouble right now, you look at, they've got a lot of talent in there, but they need defensemen, and they probably should fire sale. We've heard that even Ryan Miller might be an option, but again, there aren't a lot of teams in the market for a goaltender. We've seen that with Roberto Luongo. Mm-hmm. But you've got to think that if a team offers them draft picks for some of these guys, whether it's Drew Stafford, Robin Regier, we talked about the Islanders earlier, a guy like Robin Regier could really help out a team that needs that veteran presence.
I think he fits really well in St. Louis, but we'll talk about St. Louis.
St. Louis as well, Richie.
You know what? It's interesting about the Buffalo Sabres, because how much promise did this team have just a couple of years ago? I mean, it was Stanley Cup or bust, mm-hmm. and unfortunately for the Sabres, it's been bust. So, I mean, if you look at it, who would have thought that Ryan Miller, who's played a decade of his career in Buffalo, would be a possibility of a move? He's got 1 year left of his contract, $6.25 million cap hit. You know, I mean, but as he said, and he's right, the rumors out there is that the goalie market right now is pretty stale. People seem to be, in the playoffs at least, are pretty happy with their goaltending. So, you know, could Ryan Miller move? Absolutely. But who would have thought we'd ever be talking about Ryan Miller moving out of Buffalo?
And Darcy Regier went on record this week saying that he thinks draft picks have more value than ever with the cap going down. It'd be interesting.
Yep.
Two divisions down in the Eastern Conference, one to go. We're going to jump into the Southeast Division next. Saw the Winnipeg Jets, but we're jumping into the division nonetheless. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
Yo, move! Miami. South Beach, bring the heat.
Two divisions down, one division to go in the Eastern Conference as part of our trade deadline preview. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Richard Pollock filling in the host chair for Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg, who's champing at the bit to say something. David Minuk of IllegalCurve.com.
Chomping.
It's champing.
Chomping.
Tim Debenham and, of course, Michael Remus. Ezzy, before
we talk about Will Smith.
That's why I mentioned that Blue Jays baseball is coming to TSN 1290, beginning with next Sunday's game against the Boston Red Sox, with coverage starting at 11:30 a.m.
Richard and I were already watching the Blue Jays and the Phillies yesterday, and this is going to be one amazing team to watch.
People are pumped up about the Jays, and TSN 1290 is going to have four Jays games on each Sunday of April. Ezzy?
I'm excited. You know, there's a lot of excitement surrounding the Blue Jays, but this year, with, you know, the acquisitions of R.A. Dickey and Melky Cabrera.
Hold on, are you breaking down the Jays trade deadline?
You're taking the word illegal curve very seriously.
Southeast Division.
I was going to, you know, say a few things about the Blue Jays, and you don't want to hear my generic commentary, do you?
I don't. The Carolina Hurricanes are in town today, guys. Chad LaRose, Tim Brent, Adam Hall, Joe Corvo, Bobby Saganetti, and Dan Ellis are their pending UFAs. Corvo's got a no-movement clause. Don't know why. Pending RFAs, Riley Nash. So not really much in the way of free agents. Some trade candidates, though. Injuries are an issue here. Tuomo Ruutu, Jussi Jokinen.
Cleared waivers.
Yeah, Yoni Pikin. Now, I mentioned Jussi Jokinen in there because a team may not have wanted Jussi Jokinen at 3 mil, but they might want to trade for Jussi Jokinen if they can get rid of one of their own 3 mil contracts that they don't want. So that's a possibility. Lots of cap room. I think they need scoring wingers to complement Skinner. And to compliment Semin. You know, I think Jordan Staal, really, they want to play at center if they can, so, and keep him at center. They need depth forwards. Their third and fourth lines aren't great. And then I think they need two-way defensemen. I think the Pikkanen name is interesting to me. I think he fits a lot of places. He's a UFA after next season. Do you see them moving him?
If they're trading Yoni Pikkanen, they're obviously going to want a top six forward back. You know, the Carolina Hurricanes right now are probably in the worst tailspin in the Eastern Conference. They've only won 2 of 10 games. You know, Jets fans should be pretty excited that the Hurricanes are in town now, even though they're chasing us. We've beat them twice already this year, and they can't seem to really defend or score. They've had a really big problem in goal there. And if anybody, you know, doubted that Cam Ward is one of the top goaltenders in the NHL, well, look what's happened to the Carolina Hurricanes without Cam Ward. two wins out of their last 10 games. They've completely had trouble, you know, keeping the puck out of their own net.
I should qualify saying, like, that's kind of long-term and goaltending they need, of course.
Right, I'm just saying right now they aren't. I'm not saying they're going to go after a goaltender. I'm just saying that.
Well, they should, though.
They are struggling right now, and that's why I do think they'll make a move. A guy that I was looking at as a good guy for them to acquire is maybe a Ryan O'Byrne on Colorado, a kind of a guy to stabilize the defense. Without Justin Falk on defense, they really have trouble in their own zone. You know, Tim Gleason, Joe Corvo, those are more offensive guys. So a guy like O'Byrne is kind of a more defensive guy that I think they would be served to go after.
Gleason can kind of play all roles, but aside from that, I think they're lacking. I think they could use a goalie, maybe a Habib Bulin or somebody like that on a pending deal.
Yep.
Just to note, Tuomo Ruutu did return. He's back in the lineup now, so people know he is available to trade, although he's got a no-movement clause. Washington, interesting case, guys. Yep. It seems like the way the roster is constructed, you can't really sell the farm, can you? I mean, you still have aspirations of doing something. Mike Ribeiro's got a no-trade clause. He's a pending UFA. So is Matt Hendricks. And then Wojciech Wolski and Eric Fair. Pending RFAs, the biggest one there is Michael Neuwirth is not really the biggest. Carl Alsner is the biggest one. He's going to cost a lot more money than he did on his last deal, which to me was a bargain for George McPhee. Possibly willing to trade Justin Schultz and Joel Ward. Justin Schultz. I'm calling him Jeff Schultz, excuse me. You got the spreadsheet of names of Schultz, different people. Jeff Schultz and Joel Ward, both, I think, probably are ticket that teams probably wouldn't want to take on. They have some cap room at the deadline here. I think they probably need a scoring winger, really, to complement the guys up the middle and Ribeiro and Backstrom. And they could use, really, another stay-at-home D who can really solidify the back end. Do you see them kind of making a move to go for it here to see if they can sneak in the end of the Southeast?
I do, Richie. I think, you know, they're 4 points out of a playoff spot here. Those two games against the Winnipeg Jets last week, just over a week ago, really kind of got them back into the game here. And, you know, they were falling out of the Eastern Conference playoff race, but they've turned it up. I mean, when I look at the Capitals, I don't see them making a large move. But I do see them maybe trying to get rid of one of the guys that's a pending UFA. To me, if you're going to maybe trade Tom Pody as a rental, mm-hmm. or a guy like Wojciech Wolski, but he's actually played pretty well for them. The big guys, like you mentioned, are Ribeiro and Alsner, who I think they're both going to try to re-sign. I think they would be crazy not to. Carl Alsner has been one of their best defensemen mm-hmm. this year, you know, still very young. But, you know, I look at the Capitals, and if they can acquire... some more scoring they will, but as far as, you know, grit guys, power forward guys, size, they've got that, though. I mean, they've got Jason Chimera, they've got Troy Brouwer, they've got Brooks Like. I actually think the Capitals are going to be the team that's going to cause the Jets the most problems here down the stretch run in the Southeast Division. But I think, you know, all you'll see is just a minor move from the Caps.
The big key for George McPhee will be what happens to his team over the next three games. They play Buffalo on Saturday, the Flyers on Sunday, and then the Hurricanes on Tuesday. If they can make some hay against those teams and gain some ground, you'll see them probably re-sign their players. If not, then you could see a Ribeiro on his way out in Washington, because he'll get a nice return.
Tampa Bay, we're going to gloss over them because, reality, they don't have really significant pending UFAs or even pending RFAs. I think Ryan Malone could be had, but his ticket's significant and he has a no-movement clause. I think they need, obviously, goaltending. We've determined that. And they could use some forwards of size as well. I know they have a lot of speed and skill. But we're going to gloss over them because I think the bigger team in this division that very well may be selling a lot is Florida, as we wind it down. We're going to talk about the Winnipeg Jets in the beginning of our third hour of the show, just around 10 o'clock. Steven Weiss is obviously out for the year in terms of pending UFAs. Their pending RFAs aren't that significant, but Markstrom and Mueller and Mathias are guys who have contributed. It's the guys who are all signed, you know, Thomas Fleischmann, Christopher Stieg, obviously been injuries there, Scotty Epshaw, Sean Bergenheim, and Thomas Kopecky. So the injuries aside, it seems like Kopecky to me would be an interesting case for a team who needs some size up front for a playoff run, and a guy who's won the Cup with Chicago. They have cap space, and I think their need is everything. Do you guys think they're going to sell some assets to acquire some more draft picks and prospects here?
Absolutely. Florida Panthers are going to be one of the biggest sellers. You could throw the Sabres in there. You could throw the Flames in there. But they're out of it. This season is done for them, you know, and this is a team that, you know, isn't going to make a move in goal. I know Luongo's name was linked, but I think Markstrom is the goalie of the future, and they're not going to trade the future. Florida has some of the best prospects in the NHL, Huberto, but they've also got Nick Bjugstad and other players that we won't get into right now. But to me, there's sellers. It's all about the two Thomases, Fleischman and Kopetsky. You know, you look at teams that need some scoring. There's a lot of teams. San Jose could be one of those teams. You could see Vancouver is a team that I think might use a guy like Fleischman or Kopetsky. So I think you're going to see their forwards more so moved at the trade deadline.
And Versteeg, of course, mentioned, we talked about injury concerns. Versteeg's out for the season. But you never know with trades and money and how it works. You know, you see in baseball, Carl Crawford, a guy who's out for the season essentially and gets traded to the LA in a big money deal. So you actually never know. We've talked about the entire Eastern Conference. We've talked about the Southeast Division, the Atlantic Division, and the Northeast Division. So there's no better way to sum it up and kind of get a picture of the whole conference with one of the experts in the hockey world. That's Kevin Allen of USA Today. He's going to join us next on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day. Richard Pollock filling in the host chair for Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg, David Manouk, our producers Tim Debenham and Michael Remus.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Kevin Allen of USA Today has been kind enough to join us this Saturday morning. Kevin, how are you doing this morning?
I'm excellent, thank you. Sunny day here in Michigan.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit warmer in Winnipeg here, so we can't really complain. Kevin, it's been obviously a busy week in terms of moves for the Pittsburgh Penguins. We're going to focus on the Eastern Conference with you. Do you think, based on the moves that the Penguins have made, completely loaded up, do you think that Boston has to make a move to try and keep up with them?
Well, has to maybe a little bit strong, but I think they will, because I think there's a long history of keeping up with the Joneses in this league at trade deadline time, and it's an arms race. And the Penguins added nuclear weapons. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, Morrow and Aginla have added both grit and leadership and a little more hunger to the team. And don't underestimate Douglas Murray as well. I mean, he's a big-bodied guy who also adds a physical aspect that they were probably missing. Right the day before that happened, they played the Flyers, and when I was watching that game, I thought, you know what this team could use is, you know, maybe one big, tough, crease-clearing defenseman, and lo and behold, the next day they did that.
Kevin, everybody's been talking about this for about 2 years now. You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs pulling the trigger on a Roberto Luongo deal. Do you see them finally pulling the trigger and going after Luongo or maybe another goalie coming into Toronto?
Well, this is just a guess, not based on any inside information, but I don't think they're going to get Luongo. I think Mike Gillis wants a lot for it, and I understand why he feels that way, because I think there's going to be a pretty strong Luongo market this summer. I think the goalie market is going to be pretty decent this summer. If you look at, you know, what's happening, Marty Brodeur is not getting any younger. Tampa Bay needs a goalie as well. Ryan Miller could get moved. Buffalo could need a goalie. Kiprusoff, depending on if he retires, Calgary could need a goalie. So I'm sure what Gillis is thinking is, hey, you know, I've got a pretty good team. I'm contending for the Stanley Cup here. Nothing wrong with having a couple of goalies. So I've got some options as we move in the playoffs. And so he's asking for a lot. I think Calgary is asking less for Kiprusoff, if you can get him to go. He's hinted that he may not report if he is traded.
Kevin, we've talked about the top of the East and the middle part of the East, but now let's go to the bottom. Do you expect the Buffalo Sabres to have a fire sale?
I think they're going to move some players out. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, Regier, Leopold, these are not guys that are going to be difference makers on teams, but they could certainly help a playoff team. I guess the big question will be is whether or not they'll move Ryan Miller. I think it would be a mistake to move Ryan Miller now. I think you'd get more for him in the summer. In the summertime, when everyone's reevaluating, Ryan Miller will look even better than he does now, and I think you'd be able to make a better deal, because nobody that's in contention or nobody who's trying to get a goalie is going to be able to give you much right now. So I think they'd be better off trading him. But I do think Buffalo will move out some people. I mean, I guess Stafford, Jochen Heck probably for sure will go as well.
We're joined by Kevin Allen of USA Today, breaking down the Eastern Conference and trade possibilities. Kevin, if you look at the Eastern Conference, it's pretty top heavy with Pittsburgh and Boston, and then maybe the next best team is Montreal. They kind of have the pieces, you know, to make a run with Carey Price and speed and skill. Do you see them making a move to maybe get a bigger power forward type player to try and stay in that top three, and maybe, you know, if they can secure that second spot, they can avoid a Pittsburgh-Boston until arguably the third round?
Well, I mean, everything you said is logical, but, the way I look at Montreal is this. I think it's very surprising where they are today. In fact, I owe the Canadians an apology because I didn't think they were going to be any good at all this season, and lo and behold. And I think two things. I think we all underestimated we had forgotten the impact of Markov on that defense because, you know, obviously he's only played a fraction of their games over the last 3 years. And he's really, really made a difference. And the other element is, you know, maybe we underestimated the development leap that Price made this season. Mm-hmm. I think we all knew that he was getting better, but he's really, in my mind, joined the elite level goalies. And because of that, and because they're kind of a surprise, I wouldn't be shocked if Bergevin does nothing. I think he likes this team. On one hand, you can make a case that you reward them by getting them help. On the other hand, you can say, hey, you know, they got good chemistry. They've exceeded expectation. Let's just see what they can do. But could they use a big forward? Oh, absolutely. And I think if one was available and it was a reasonable trade for Montreal, you would look at that.
Just as an aside, Kevin, how good of a job has Marc Bergevin done in his stint as the Habs GM thus far?
Well, he's done pretty good, but, I mean, I don't want to suggest that he's not doing a good job because he is. But, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he had no impact on Markov coming back or Carey Price getting better. But what he has done is, you know, I thought the Press move was a real good move. I thought it changed the culture. It made him grittier to play against. Making the decision to move Gomez out, what he did. They needed to clear that off the book. So I've liked everything he's done. And there is sort of a sense around the league that everything is more organized and there's a plan now that makes sense with him there. So I definitely give him a lot of credit. But I guess what I'm saying is that I think some of the things that's happened there have been out of his control.
Kevin, we wanted to transition to the Southeast Division, or as they're calling it here in Winnipeg, the Southeast Division, and that's actually been a benefit to us. As you know, the Jets are leading the division right now, third place in the Eastern Conference. What do you think the Winnipeg Jets should do at the trade deadline? Ron Hainsey has been a guy that is bandying about as trade bait. What do you think the Jets should do here with about 14 games left in the season?
Well, to me, it's add or do nothing. I certainly wouldn't move anyone out, including Ron Hainsey. I mean, I get it. You know, they've scored 15 fewer goals and they've given up. Their defense play hasn't been, stellar. And they haven't even had a good home record. But saying all that, you know, if you get a ticket to the party, you know, you got a chance to dance. And they're going to have a good ticket. So I would say, if I'm that team and with the fan base that they have, I think they owe it to the fans to do what they can to try to hang in there. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that the low-seeded Edmonton Oilers got all the way to the final. So I think if they've got a chance to improve the team, they ought to attempt to do it. I certainly wouldn't move out any pieces, that's for sure.
Kevin, staying in the Southeast, do you see Dale Tallon trying to offload some of his veterans if he's able to?
I just don't see that there's a fit there. Like, everybody says, well, you know, like, they're a team that looks like they ought to move people out, but the two people they were going to move out, you know, are hurt. You know, Weiss for sure would have been moved.
Mm-hmm.
And Versteeg, I thought, could have been moved even with a contract extension. But, you know, a guy like Campbell, is anyone going to take his $7 million? I don't think so. And I don't see why they would move out Fleischmann. That doesn't make any sense. Does anybody want Jovanovski with a couple of years left as well? So even though they're in a position where you would think they'd move out, I don't see a lot of desirable players when you fact in the contracts that they bring forward.
Paul McLean's done an incredible job in Ottawa, Kevin. Do you think that the Senators just keep riding out what they've been doing, or do you see them trying to add something here?
Well, I think they might have added something if Spezza was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Brian Murray's a good horse trainer, so I think there's always a chance they'll do that. You know, he's a guy that knows what he's doing, and I completely agree. I'm not so sure. I probably would vote for Joel Quinville if I had a vote for Coach of the Year, but I'd think long and hard about Paul McLean because I think he's done an unbelievable job there. But they play real well defensively. Their goaltending's been better than they expected. Had they had Spezza coming back, I think Murray for sure would have done something, figuring he'll make some noise. But, you know, now he may just, you know, ride it out. But, again, I think a lot's going to depend on what the prices are in the marketplace and what he'd have to give up. Because, you know, this team has actually performed, you know, pretty darn well. Mm-hmm. So I think you got to give them, you know, credit for that. I mean, they play the kind of defense that, you know, could be successful in the postseason.
It really has been an incredible run. Kevin Allen, of course, has broken down all 30 teams and their trade prospects and what he thinks may happen for the USA Today. Michael Remus will tweet that out. Kevin, final question. It's been an odd season, obviously. It's a shortened season. The cap is kind of tricky in that there's some room this year, but then it goes down to 64 next year, $64 million. Do you expect to see a lot of action at the deadline on Wednesday, or is it going to be a quieter year?
Yeah, you know, that's a question I've been asking general managers. I'm getting real mixed reviews on it. Everybody says that it's been an odd sort of trade market, and, you know, we've had a lot of action thus far. I'm going to basically forecast that it's going to be very similar to previous trade deadlines. I think we're going to see a bunch of guys that are going to get moved. And, you know, I think even teams that are in contention could end up making deals. I mean, you could see a team like Toronto, for example, mm-hmm. you know, move out of MacArthur, but then add two pieces elsewhere. You know, maybe you'll see a trade from Winnipeg, you know, that kind of situation where they would trade with a team from the West and maybe get some help that way. So I think we're going to see a lot of activity, and there's usually some minor leaguers as well that get moved, and I think that'll help the numbers as well.
Kevin Allen of USA Today, thanks as always for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
My pleasure. Call me anytime.
Thanks, Kevin. Absolutely great. Love talking to Kevin. The voice, really, of hockey, to me, in the United States, does a great job, covers the entire league as a columnist for the USA Today and has been doing it for a long time. We have covered the entire Eastern Conference, front to back.
It's time to take a little trip out west, Richie.
Take a little trip out west. When we come back, we're going to delve deep into the Central Division. You're listening to the Trade Deadline Preview on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. 1 hour down, 2 hours to go on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Richard Pollock filling in the host chair for Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg, David Manuk of IllegalCurve.com, Tim Debenham, and Michael Remus. This is Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day, H&L, live from Boston Pizza City Place in 2 hours' time at 11 a.m., and then Rick Ralph and the official Winnipeg Jets pregame show starting at 1 o'clock.
Central Division.
First division we're going to delve into in the Western Conference is, of course, the Central Division. And why not start off with essentially all season long, they've been blazing hot. Chicago Blackhawks, pending UFAs in Chicago, Victor Stahlberg, Jamal Mayers, Brian Bickle, Michael Roosevelt, who has a no-trade clause. How he got that, no one will know. And Ray Emery, pending RFAs, Kruger and Letty. In reality, guys, there's no real significant free agents there in terms of what this team's trying to do. A trade candidate to me is probably Michael Frolik if somebody would take on the contract. It's not too huge. They have some cap room, not massive amounts, but they have cap room at the deadline, as most teams do. To me, they probably don't have many needs, but if they do have a couple needs, it could be a depth defenseman, maybe to round out the top six. And then a center who excels at faceoffs. You know, just to note, the only center on this team with a faceoff percentage above 50% is that of Jonathan Toews. Aside from that, everybody's below, I think, 46%. So maybe they look to add a face-off specialist coming down the stretch. Ezzy, what do you think the Blackhawks do, if anything?
I don't know if they'll do a lot. The Blackhawks lost to the Ducks. They've lost a couple of games here, but they're still leading that Western Conference. And if you look at the guys that are kind of providing those depth roles on the Chicago Blackhawks, you mentioned Stahlberg, but I think he's a guy that's in line for another contract from the Blackhawks, and he's obviously going to get paid a lot more. He's had a good year, but you know, Andrew Shaw, Brian Bickle, those types of guys have given them actually some pretty nice secondary scoring on their third and fourth lines. But You mentioned the defense, and we've talked about how good of a job Johnny Oduya has done on that second pairing with Nicholas Jalmerson. But I think that they would probably be suited for another kind of stay-at-home defenseman. Another guy that would be a good fit in Chicago, just like he would be in St. Louis, Richie, is a Robin Regier type of guy to provide some toughness, some veteran leadership on that third pairing. But, you know, the biggest question mark for me was in goal. Mm-hmm. And Ray Emery has wildly surpassed my expectations for him. And Corey Crawford has been very good, too. I don't know if the Chicago Blackhawks need to do a lot. I mean, Taves, Hossa, go on and on and on. Sharp is injured right now. That's probably the only bad thing that's happening in Chicago.
Has their
right
goaltending
now
been just good enough that they can't make a move, which is probably an issue?
It's been excellent. It's been absolutely excellent.
But I'm saying, like, in terms of track record, like, if they didn't feel comfortable with this group going in, they kind of have to with the way they've played. Because if they make a move...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I think to me they're between a kind of, it's a difficult place to be, and if you have an option of adding a goaltender with a better track record, it's going to be difficult in that room to do it, or maybe it isn't. I think it's going to be interesting. Dave, moving to Detroit, a team you follow quite closely, they have a lot of pending UFAs and RFAs. They're pending UFAs of significance are Valtteri Filppula, Daniel Cleary, Damian Bruner, Ian White, Ken Huskins and Ryan Howard, Jimmy Howard. There was a rumor that he signed an extension just recently, but that didn't actually happen. And then their pending RFAs are Gustav Nyquist, Jakob Kindle, and Brendan Smith. So significant talent in free agent wise. I don't think they have a ton to trade unless it's off. If it's on the active roster, I don't think they have a lot to trade. They do have some cap room. And to me, they need to fill out their top six with a scoring winger, and they need defensemen. What do you see the wings doing, Dave? Because I think they're good enough to beat anybody, but they might not be good enough to beat anybody three times or four times in a row.
Right. The Red Wings are an interesting, you know, they've made the playoffs, it seems like, every year for the last over two decades now. You know, GM Ken Holland is always in the market for some type of player to add to his mix. You know, they just signed, they got the prize college free agent, Dan DeKeyser. So, you know, that was interesting. They beat out the Nashville Predators and the Calgary Flames, who were hot on his tail. But the big one, speaking of the Calgary Flames, is Jay Bouwmeester. Would he look good at wearing a Detroit Red Wings jersey? I think he would. You know, I mean, would he be able to fit the role left by Nick Lidstrom? Obviously not to the same degree, but is he a serviceable defenseman that would be able to step in and help that team? I think so.
Andy, big minutes. And very reliable in terms of he's never been injured. Right. So to be able, you know, he's not... George Johnson of the Calgary Herald's been on our show before saying if he wasn't making as much as he's making, people would think he's great. But it's the expectations that come along with a big contract that sometimes weigh down your perspective of a player. I think the same for Brian Campbell. If he was making $4.5 million, he'd be a great defenseman. He's making $7 million, they hold it against him and don't think he's that great of a defenseman. If you take away the contract, he provides value. I agree, Dave. I think that's interesting. In terms of the St. Louis Blues, which we'll move to next, their pending UFAs are Andy McDonald, who has a no-trade clause, but obviously he's a significant player who's oft injured, Jamie Langenbrenner, who's on his last legs, Scott Nickel, and Wade Redden. Their pending RFAs are just so significant that you have to mention them. Patrick Berglund, Chris Stewart, Alex Pietrangelo, Kevin Shattenkirk, and then Ian Cole and Chris Russell. But the first four names there, guys, that's very much the core of their squad. That's going to cost them big money to fill up. And in terms of trade candidates, you know, they have some guys in the system who they could deal, but you could also go on the, you know, based on similar to Ottawa, and that they have goalies to deal. You know, maybe it's Jaroslav Halak. Maybe it's Jake Allen. Maybe it's Brian Elliott, who hasn't had a great year. But to me, they're looking to add probably more than subtract. And when you're looking to add, they have a lot of cap room, and to me, they're looking to add a left-side defenseman. I don't think Wade Redden, lined up besides, say, Kevin Shattenkirk, is somebody that they're going to want to rely on coming down the stretch.
Right, and I agree with you, Richie. And, you know, the St. Louis Blues haven't exactly torn it up. They're basically fighting for their playoff lives right now with, you know, the likes of the Stars, the Blue Jackets, who have emerged. We'll talk about them right away. But, you know, the St. Louis Blues are definitely a buyer, and it is on defense. And I think that they would move a goaltender. That's where they're strong right now. Brian Elliott hasn't been very good. Jake Allen has been very good. I think they would consider moving a guy like Elliott or Halak. And it is, you touched on it, you know, there's not much more I can add to that. But whether it's a Robin Regier, a guy like Brian Campbell, I think, might make sense there. But, you know, do you want to give him that much money? The Blues don't have the best power play in the league. Campbell would make it a lot better. To me, that would be a nice fit. I don't think they're going to mortgage the farm too much, but I think they would move a high draft pick to make room for a guy like a Bomeister or a Campbell. And those are, we know that the Blues do covet those guys. That's exactly what they're needing because their defense is very good. Shattenkirk and Pietrangelo, those are guys that are going to be on the Blues for the next 15 years, and we'll be surprised if they don't give Shattenkirk a 5 or 6 year contract coming out of his entry-level deal. But they could use another guy who can move the puck and score and add to their an element to their power play. But as far as forwards go, I mean, if Matt D'Agostini, you're letting Matt D'Agostini go for a fourth rounder, you've probably got a lot of depth up front on forwards. So I'd say that a defenseman is probably what they're going to go after.
There's
here.
Two guys I think they should target, and I think maybe will target. And one's Robin Regier. He can slot in, kind of play a Barrett Jackman role with a player like Shattenkirk, who's similar to Pietrangelo. Another player who's not of that ilk, but I think really does fit or possibly could fit, is Joni Pikkanen. He's big, he can skate, might not be the best defensively, but think about ties, guys. I think that's always interesting to note. Joni Pikkanen played for Ken Hitchcock in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia, Ken Hitchcock rode Joni Pikkanen. So he has a trust in him, he has a knowledge of his game, and he played quite well for him. Maybe they go back to the well there and Pikkanen signed for another year. That kind of might hinder them based on their contracts that are upcoming in the as RFAs, but maybe there's a fit there for a goalie and a prospect to Carolina. For a guy like Joni Pikkanen, I don't know, but I think that's somebody that they may very well target. In terms of the Nashville Predators, not much in the way of pending UFAs. Brandon Yip, Scott Hannon, and Chris Mason, obviously Jets fans are, you know, well acquainted with him. Patrick Hornquist is their biggest RFA, and then Roman Josi probably be the next biggest trade candidates. I think, you know, Sergei Kostitsyn obviously might be there, three mil a year for this year and next. Marty Erat, he has a no move clause, but hasn't had a good year and can score. Maybe they cut ties with him. They have a ton of cap room, and I think they need really a scoring up front, and they probably could use another two-way defenseman. Dave, what do you think Nashville does here? And they're kind of an in-between team, which they haven't really been for the past couple of years.
Well, you know, it's interesting. David Poile said earlier in the month that he wants to be a buyer at the deadline. He wants to acquire some sort of offensive asset because, let's be real, this team just can't score. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with Nashville, is that their scoring is down. And it's amazing to look at the playoff standings right now and see Nashville in 11th. Because, you know, for years we've been used to seeing them, you know, even though they're kind of a lunchbox team, we're used to seeing them, you know, somewhere in the third or fourth to sixth or seventh spot. So to see them down in the 11th spot, especially, you know, with only, a few games left before the playoff, before the trade deadline, it'll be interesting to see what happens. If they can somehow, I mean, at the same time, they're only 2 points out of eighth. They're only 2 points back of St. Louis. So anything can happen with a few games to go before the trade deadline. And if they if they manage to kind of overcome the teams that they're currently trailing, then yeah, we could see him making a move. But you know, he's not the type of GM who's going to sell the farm just to get into the playoffs. He knows he's a stand pat kind of guy.
They need Pekka Rinne to play better. That's imperative for them to do anything and get into the playoffs. They traded a first round pick last year for Paul Gostad. I don't see them trading two first round picks in a row. That'd be kind of mortgaging the future there. And I don't think they have the team that they did last year that would make it worthwhile. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We're breaking down the Central Division as part of our trade deadline preview. And the final team in the division to break down is that of the Columbus Blue Jackets. A surprising team, one we talked about last week with Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch. Their pending UFAs are Vaclav Prospel, who's a no-movement clause, Mark Letestu, and Adrian Nikoin, who also has a no-movement clause. Their pending RFAs are Artem Anisimov, Calvert, Mason, and Bobrovsky, so both of their netminders. You know, in terms of trade candidates, I mean, Derek Brassard, is he now somebody they're looking to deal? I mean, he hasn't done much. James Wisniewski, I mean, that ticket. And then Brandon Dubinsky has added leadership and such, but he's making a lot of money, over $4 million, and doesn't produce offensively. They have a ton of cap room. They have more strength on defense than offense. I think they'd probably like to add a top flight forward, but I'm not sure if their assets can get them that kind of return.
Well, Richie, they obviously started the rebuild by trading Rick Nash last year, and they've put themselves in a playoff position right now. But all of the guys that you've mentioned are guys that are really driving the bus right now. Vaclav Prospel scored last night. Letestu scored last night. Matt Calvert had 2 points last night. Former Brandon Weeking. These are all guys that are currently getting them all their goals. So I don't see them moving any of the pending UFAs or pending RFAs. I think that as far as the Columbus Blue Jackets go, they'll look to move a guy if they can get something in return for the future. but we know that they have a lot of draft picks coming up. We know that they're getting some good goaltending from Sergei Bobrovsky. So I think the Columbus Blue Jackets, a couple points out of a Western Conference playoff spot, are just going to ride it out and see if they can get in there.
It's tough when you're Columbus, right? Because if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, you're close to a playoff race, and can your players really get you back that much in return? I think it's an interesting thing, and I'm not sure whether or not it'll happen, but I have more than a feeling that Columbus probably deals a veteran or two at the deadline. What we'll do, we'll leave it there. The Northwest Division is one that has three Canadian teams. I think Vancouver is the most interesting one, so let's jump right into that division next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show, Richard Pollock filling in the host chair for Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg, David Manuk of IllegalCurve.com, Tim Debenham, and Michael Remus. And this segment is brought to you by the Elite Sports Injury Clinic. Regardless of your talent level or how it happened, if you suffer pulls, tears, strains, or spasms, Elite Sports Injury Clinic is your destination to get you back to health. Three convenient locations throughout Winnipeg means Elite Sports Injury Clinic is always available to get you back to health. Check them out online at physiowinnipeg.com. Ezzy, I know you, of course, need to return to physio after your lack of stretching from your most recent injury.
Oh, I stretch.
Northwest Division.
Northwest Division, guys, and of course we had the tunes there for Alberta, but we will start in the province of British Columbia, and we'll start with the always much talked about Vancouver Canucks. Their pending UFAs are the injured Manny Malhotra, Mason Raymond, Chris Higgins, Maxim Lapierre, and Andrew Albert. So kind of all guys who maybe not their core guys, but guys who do contribute. Then pending RFAs are fairly insignificant. Jordan Schrader, Dale Ruiz, Tim Debenham's former teammate from his Winnipeg hockey days, and then Chris Tanev, who's performed, I think, quite well. Some trade candidates. Of course, you hear these two names all the time. That's Keith Ballard. And, of course, Roberto Luongo, who has a no-trade clause. Their cap room at the deadline is essentially nil. They have the least amount of cap room of any team. And thanks to CapGeek, by the way, for that information, CapGeek.com. They have the least amount of cap room of any team. So they kind of have to trade. They kind of have to trade out money to get in, to take in money. And that's a hard position to be in. And they're really up against it. Like, as compared to Edmonton, who has so much more room than them. And we'll talk about them in a second. Their biggest need, I think their defense is as good as any in the league, maybe the best. Is their need undoubtedly secondary scoring?
Yes. It's secondary scoring, guys, and it has been secondary scoring all year. Ryan Kesler, when he's in the lineup, makes the Vancouver Canucks a completely different team. And the Vancouver Canucks have slid out of that Northwest Division lead now, with the Minnesota Wild having won seven games in a row. So the Vancouver Canucks now are in a position where if they don't get secondary scoring, it'll be very difficult for them to get out of the first round. Because if Henrik Sedin and Daniel Sedin aren't scoring for that team, it's almost like a piecemeal approach where they get scoring from some guys on certain nights. But, you know, you've got injury problems right now. David Booth is injured right now. A guy that we've talked about before that would be perfect and that has been bandied about is Derek Roy. Or a guy like Jaromir Jagr, even. We know the Vancouver Canucks will maybe go after a rent-a-player, and Jagr would be a rent-a-player for the Vancouver Canucks. But, Richie, you mentioned the cap situation.
But money there. Like, I mean,
there's no money there. And you have to you almost have to throw in a guy like Keith Ballard to a team.
But who wants that deal?
It's a large contract.
Who wants that deal? I mean,
they're a large contract.
They're in a difficult position here because they're so close to the cap that Keith Ballard has a $4.2 million cap hit for the next 2 years after this one, and he can't even crack their lineup sometimes. I mean, you know, is he going to be anything more than a 5-6 guy for them, for any team that he's going to? And if not, how can you pay that much money, Ezzy? I mean, it doesn't seem to be the logical fit there in terms of a trade.
I'll throw out a guy, and I know people are going to say, oh, you know, well, that's not really going to do much. But a guy that was just on waivers, a guy like Jussi Jokinen, even, for the Vancouver Canucks is an upgrade for what they have. What the Vancouver Canucks have done,
they can't take him on, though. $3 million.
Well, I'm saying they'd have to take the Ballard contract and maybe even some more than that.
No, but Carolina's luck, I mean, this is a problem. Ezzy, I think Jokinen actually makes some sense if they can trade a little bit of cap hit back, who's a pending UFA.
Yep.
But, I mean, It is tight there.
It's very tight. And that's a problem that is also... I think the fact that they have a tight salary cap is also making the Roberto Luongo situation even more difficult. Because you look at their goaltending situation and they're saying, yeah, we'll trade Roberto Luongo, but we want a first rounder and we want a prospect. What's not a prospect, actually, a roster player. Tyler Bozak's name has been mentioned a lot lately as a guy who could give them that second line center role. But the problem is, do the Leafs, A, want Luongo? Do they want to take that contract? Right. And, you know, are they going to be able to fit it in the new salary cap next year? You're right. The Vancouver Canucks are one of those teams. I think they are the biggest buyer right now, but they are up against the salary cap worse than anybody.
It's hard to be a bigger buyer when you're broke. And the problem is they have no, as you guys have said, they have no room. The one thing I want to clarify quickly is that
they need a credit card, Dave.
the Canucks are actually in third right now. They have 44 points. The Wild.
Oh, sorry. 40, sorry about that.
And the truth is they're hot. So it's hard to make success. Right. They've won their last six games in a row. They clearly want to make a move with the goaltending, but at the same time...
But playoffs is about matchups, right? You're going to put your best defensive pairing up against the Sedins, and then what?
No, there's no question they absolutely need secondary scoring. I mean, I'm not questioning that. But as you've illustrated, how do you do it? And how do you find the room?
And then it's, you know, the Roberto Luongo situation is interesting. Before we transition to Edmonton, if you're the Canuck, then you need to add secondary scoring. But your price for Luongo is too high asset-wise in return. Then you're crippling your cap this year to keep Luongo for an asset. Maybe you trade him in the summer, but you've left another season go when you can have a chance to win the cup. How many more seasons? The Sedins aren't getting any younger here. It's... Mike Gillis has a tough job here, and I'll tell you one thing. They've certainly been hurt by the fact that they haven't drafted well. Another team that's drafted well, of course, you know, kind of by default when you're drafting first all the time, is the Edmonton Oilers. They're pending UFAs, Ryan Jones, Ryan Whitney, Ladislav Smead, who they haven't signed yet, obviously is pending UFA, Sutton, Andy Sutton, Mark Fistrich, and Javi Bulin. Pending RFAs, most significant, of course, is Sam Gagner. Magnus Piarvi is also pending, but Gagner is the one who's been playing so well. Some trade candidates, I mean, you have your veterans, you have Korkov, although they've kind of expressed an interest in not trading him, and he has a no-movement clause. Alex Hemsky, Ryan Smith, who seems like he's essentially done, and then Eric Bélanger. And then the cap room they have is ton, so there's no issue there with the cap. They could use, I think, some stability in terms of veteran checking forwards. They need defensemen, and you could argue that they need goaltending, which way you want to go with that. I mean, they have a lot of pieces here, guys. I think that people would want Smead, to me, would be the most, but I don't think they're going to deal him, but they haven't signed him yet. So Whitney, I mean, Jones would fit nice on another team. Javi Bulin could help somebody's goaltending needs as a pending UFA. And then, of course, those veterans like Hemsky. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of assets here to move before the deadline.
The Oilers aren't in a playoff spot right now, but they're not really that far out of it either. I mean, 5 points is whatever it is, 3 points or 5 points out of it right now. It's not 3 points. Thank you, Dave. That's not exactly out of it at this point. But to me, the Oilers have to be buyers. It's been clear this year that the Oilers aren't strong enough in goal and they aren't strong enough on defense. I look at kind of the guys like Jeff Petrie's had an awful year not to throw him under the bus.
I like Jeff Petrie as a overall defenseman, but you know
the role he's playing right now though. But I look at the Oilers and I say they have to be sellers. And you've got two different classes of sellers for the Oilers. You've got your guys that you could trade to be rent-a-players, like a Ryan Smith or a Nikolai Habi Bulin. Mm-hmm. Those guys could be good rent-a-players. But to me, the key guy, and looking forward with the guys that they're going to have to sign, to me, Sam Gagner is your most tradable asset. The problem is, Sam Gagner has arguably been the best forward this year.
That's very true.
But you look at a team like Montreal, who has a plethora of defensemen. You've got Rafael Diaz or Alexei Emelin. They could trade. Weber has been a guy that's been bandied about. To me, a guy like that would be a good fit for a team like Montreal, who could use probably another scorer. I don't know. I mean, to me, they need defense, and Gagner could probably get you a pretty good prospect or even a roster player. Yeah. So I think that they should be sellers. I think if the Oilers, if they do manage to get in, which is going to be hard, aren't a team that have the goaltending or the defense to really beat anybody in the first round.
Yeah, I agree with that. And paying Gagner, of course, you know, he's warranted. His play is warranted a big payday, but then you keep loading up all the money on forward, then who are you paying when it comes to defensemen when you eventually get them? You know, Rick Ralph had Ray Shiro on during Thursday's game. You know, I think during the first intermission, he had Ray Shiro, the Pittsburgh Penguins general manager, and he asked him the question, you know, what's it like being a buyer as opposed to being a seller? And And Shiro said, you know, really, as being in Pittsburgh, he's only ever been a buyer. Well, it's the reverse here in Edmonton. And with Steve Tambellini, he's only really been a seller. And when does that end? I mean, that's for another day. Calgary Flames, of course, a seller. They've traded Jerome McGinley. It looks like they're going to just trade everyone. It appears that it's very possible. Their pending UFAs are Roman Cervenka, Blake Como, and Anton Babchuk, who's already been reported to be on the way out. Pending RFAs are Michael Backlund, Chris Butler, and TJ Brody. This team's in a mess. There are other candidates, I think, to be moved. Mika Kiprusoff. Now, these are the keys. No move clause. Mike Camilleri, no trade clause. Matt Stajan, no trade clause. Curtis Glencross, no trade clause. And then Lee Stepniak. They have some cap room, and I think they're not adding money, really. And they need, I think, as much talent as possible. They need draft picks and prospects. I think the bigger question is, how did anybody ever give Matt Stajan a no trade clause? But we'll leave that for another day. I mean, guys, they're just going to fire sale this, as they probably should.
Yeah. Dave, they're going to fire sale, you know, the bones are, you can see the bones now, and I think the hyenas are circling the Calgary Flames. Jay Bouwmeester right now is the key guy, and he's coveted by teams, but it's going to be, again, it's going to be a question of, can they work out a trade with the salary implications, everything? Is he going to go to St. Louis, Detroit? But there's just so many other guys that are appealing. A guy like Curtis Glencross, he's a guy that's can penalty kill, he can play on the power play. He scored last night, even though the Calgary Flames lost. But he's a guy that so many teams could use. Look at the Ottawa Senators. They could use a guy like Curtis Glencross, give them some secondary scoring. So I think the fire sale is on, and I think you're going to see one or two or maybe even three guys moved at the deadline, because the Flames have decided to, as soon as they traded the big guy, Jerome McGinley, obviously, it's on.
Staying in the division, of course, we're going to look at the fourth seed now, right behind the Vancouver Canucks, only 2 points behind, with a game in hand to the Minnesota Wild. Their pending UFAs are Pierre-Marc Bouchard, Matt Cullen, Brett Clark, recently signed, and then goaltender Nicholas Backstrom. Pending RFAs, Cal Clutterbuck. Trade candidates, I don't know if they're going to trade really off the roster, because you trade, you know, the aforementioned UFAs like Bouchard or Cullen, and you're trading guys who are on significant parts of your scoring arsenal. They do have a lot of prospects, though, and that could be a possibility. Their cap room is very little, so that's going to be an issue in terms of taking on money. Dave, I think they need probably a veteran scoring winger if they had their choice, and probably another, you know, solid two-way defenseman. Do you see the Minnesota Wild, you know, standing pat, or do you see them trying to load up a little bit? I mean, they're going to have home ice advantage as it currently stands in the Western Conference.
You know, it's hard to see Chuck Fletcher making any big moves right now, because the Minnesota Wild have been playing so well. I mean, they lost their last game, but they're 8-2-0 in their last 10. They've been fantastic. They knocked Vancouver out of the top spot in the division temporarily. The team took a little while to develop the chemistry, but it appears that they have. And will they mortgage the future to, you know, make a little... You know, it seems like Fletcher, his attitude is, we're not thinking... I mean, obviously everybody wants to have short-term success, but he's taking a long-term approach to this, and he wants to build a consistent winner. So I just don't see the Minnesota Wild making any sort of radical moves. If they can do, like, an addition without subtracting, then maybe... But I really have a hard time seeing him even giving away any of his big prospect depth, because they have a decent amount of depth in the pipeline, and I just can't see him saying, you know what, we're going to mortgage our future just to have a chance to win right now.
Yeah, they're not going to trade a guy like Charlie Coyle or anybody like that. Dave, you already hit on it. They've already made the radical moves. They picked up Suter and Parise, and you know they've started off slow, but now Suter is playing like the Ryan Suter we expect. His name is being now mentioned as a Norris candidate, and it should be. He's been excellent offensively and defensively. So they don't have to do a lot. I mean, if the Minnesota Wild are one of those teams that if they need to get a face-off specialist or a veteran, something like that, I don't think they need to do a lot. You got look at a guy like Devin Setoguchi. He's putting the puck in the net quite nicely now. They don't need to do a lot, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do nothing or just add a depth guy.
The final team in this division is the mess of the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, where do you really go here in terms of the future with this squad? They're pending UFAs Milan Hayduk, Chuck Kobusu, and Ryan O'Byrne. Hayduk's played his whole career in Colorado and has a no-movement clause. They don't really have any pending RFAs that are significant. Some guys looking to move, possibly, you know, Paul Stastny. They can move that big ticket. David Jones, who somehow got that big ticket, $4 million a year for quite a bit. John Mitchell's a speedster, can add some speed to your maybe fourth line. And then Jan Heda, who's a really good stay-at-home defenseman, maybe they can try and turn him into an asset. But I think, you know, they have no cap issues. I think their need is really, while they need some maybe depth forwards, it's defensemen and goaltending.
That's defensemen, it definitely is. And we know that they gave up the draft picks for Semyon Varlamov. To me, you move Hayduk if you can for a draft pick. I don't know if he gets moved.
He controls that though, right?
He does. And Ryan O'Byrne, you move him if you can get a draft pick. Chuck Kobosu, if there's a team out there that wants to add kind of a guy that could play on the third or fourth line, pop in a few G's. You're looking at moving guys for draft picks, really. That's what I see the Colorado Avalanche doing if they decide to make moves. But going forward, I mean, their future is Ryan O'Reilly, and they've got Landeskog under contract. They're going to have to sign Matt Duchene again because he only signed a two-year deal. Mm-hmm. So Matt Duchene's going to be a guy they have to sign.
And that O'Reilly contract will screw that all up.
Yeah, that'll screw that up. He'll probably get, you know, $6 million a year, you know, as a third contract after his bridge contract. But Colorado is rebuilding as well. And, you know, I have to wonder if they're going to make a coaching move or a GM move in the offseason because the Avalanche have just been a mess for too long.
You know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, Paul Stastny did play with Blake Wheeler in the German Elite League. You never know.
Well, I mean, Stastny, I've always liked his game, but it's really taken a trip downhill, really, for the past couple of years. He's a great passer. Good vision, not the best skater, not really a natural scorer, but his ticket is so significant, guys. And, you know, we talk about $6.6 million a year. Having said that, it's only $6.6 million a year for the Reindeer this year and next year. The Jets do have a center need. I mean, I guess you're starting that rumor right now, Dave, but I've heard worse ones, I guess, and we'll leave it there. I won't even touch it. We know the rumors get started quite quickly. We don't want to be part of the rumor mongering, as they say. Two divisions down in the Western Conference, one more to go. That would be the Pacific Division. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show Trade Deadline Preview on TSN 1290.